Deaconess Freeman, if you would lead us in prayer.
Let us bow our heads. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for another day to give you praise and honor. We thank you with thanksgiving for all that you have done for us this year, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, for blessing our families, our friends, and our teacher and his lovely wife, and for each Word of God Church and Julius C. Freeman Sr. Outreach Church member. Lord, we thank you for your words, for it gives us the direction to the path of salvation that allow us to be the person that you designed us to be. 2 Timothy 3:16. For your presence this morning, because your word says that when two or more are gathered in your name, that you will be in the midst.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy as it provides a shield for us to live a peaceful, joyful life. We pray that we never forget what you went through for us. We are truly grateful, Father, for you going to the cross for us. No one but you would have done that for us, Lord.
Mm.
And we thank you for loving us so much. We thank you for Bishop Cuff and his personal commitment to Jesus as his Lord and Savior. We thank you for his faithfulness, Father, to your flock, for giving him a helpmate that is deeply rooted in the word and always striving to obey your commands. We pray that they both continue to do your will, Lord, with Christ-like spirit and integrity. Michael 6:8. Holy Father, we pray for the Word of God Church and the Julius C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministries. Lord, help us to remember that we have to be committed to you before we make any plans in our lives. And for those plans to succeed, Lord, Proverbs 16:3. We know, Lord, that we need your input from the smallest thought to a life-changing plan.
Well,
we acknowledge that we don't follow, that when we don't follow you, we end up in a terrible mess.
Yeah.
We glorify you, Lord, when we first commit our plans to you and ask for your blessings on them. Lord, thank you for bringing us through all our challenges and for your Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Lord God, we pray for the men and women of our military. We ask that you protect them, encourage them, and strengthen their spirit, their soul, and their body as they carry out their duties. Thank you, Lord, for not letting anyone or anything come against us. For we know that without a doubt that no weapon formed against us will succeed. Lord, we thank you for rerouting anything Satan tries to throw at us. We stand on your word, for it is our heritage, a blessing that you have given each of us. Lord, we pray for the homeless, for those in prisons, hospitals, the dying, the lonely, those with addictions, and those who are grieving. Lord, we pray that you give them the shelter and peace that they seek. We pray that you continue to let your angels watch over our homes, our families, our friends. And we thank you for the Word of God Church. We thank you, Lord, for it being a guiding light on the narrow path which your word says few will take.
Mm.
We give you praise and glory for all you have done and for all you have led to the truth and the light. We pray that many more will be led to the body of Christ to hear the word. We ask this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Praise the God. God bless you, Deaconess Freeman. As we start this journey this morning, there are a couple of things that we're now getting more technically savvy. I have a stopwatch on that's going to time this, so I'll get this down to under that hour. As I get started, I wanted to mention to you that, if I'm not mistaken, this is the last Sunday of this year. Am I right about that?
Amen.
Okay, it is. Okay. And so I want to give God the glory and praise and honor that he has taken us through this entire year together as a flock. And we have advanced in knowledge and holiness. I hear people talking when I was more involved in the Baptist ministry. I used to hear preachers talking about how many members they have. I'm more focused on how much growth spiritually that we have. And I can assure you that I see growth in this flock. Amen?
Amen.
And so I give God the glory that he's increasing our minds and our knowledge and our wisdom, that we may walk closer to him each and every day, and therefore be a light to those who are in darkness. Don't think that you get this light just to keep to yourself. We've got to pass it on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And so as we come to the close of this year and look forward to the next, we need to start focusing on our ministries, the Julius C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministries. One of them, which is in play right now, and that is that we're telecasting through this Bridgeline, which is an outreach ministry. We have the capabilities for people to come in anywhere in this country to hear the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And that's due to your generosity and providing offerings that we can facilitate it. And it's very interesting that we don't need a whole lot of money, but we got enough to do what I don't see churches that got billions of dollars rolling and doing.
Amen.
It all depends on what you do with what God gives you. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's one ministry. And the tape ministry is up and we running starting the first of the year. I'm sitting here with this gadget in front of me. I've got two sets of speakers there that I didn't have. God bless you. Bree has arrived. Are you, by yourself? Okay. And as I was saying, we have other ministries that we have to get going this year. So I want you to start thinking in that vein. We must reach the lost. Priscilla always eloquently prays for the military. And since some of us on this call matter of fact, most of us are either in the military, connected to the military. And so I would encourage you to start thinking about military outreach. Because I recall my 22 years in the military, very seldom did I go to church. I would listen on the radio where we were stationed, or if we were in the U.S., I went to churches off the base. I recall the last assignment was in Hawaii, and we went to a church off the base. The chapel was so small, it couldn't hold too many. And so I encourage you who particularly is still in the military to think about how we can get this Julius C. Freeman Senior Outreach Ministry to our men and women serving in the military and their families, who a lot of times have been left behind while their husbands and wives go to serve our nation. Amen?
Amen.
In addition to that, we can increase in our prison ministry. If nothing else, we'll be able to supply Bibles and lessons and other matters. So I don't want to take up any more time with this, but I do want us to be thinking about these outreach ministries. Starting in January, you'll start getting a once-a-month recording. Priscilla has the church news letter. So God is working in this flock. Amen? And so I give him praise and honor that you and I are growing in knowledge. Lastly, Sister Bree had asked me a question which prompted me to think deeper on the subject, and that is, what ministries can women do in a church? And we're not going to take up time now, but we will get to that, and I commend her as well as others of you who ponder things, who meditate and think about things. What is it that I can do, and what can I do, or what should I do? Amen?
Amen.
And so we have to be always knowledgeable. And so in that vein, I was explaining to Sister Cuff and her yesterday that I have a concern that I'll pass on to you now as I wrap this up about us being too wedded to commentary. We've got some blessed Bibles that have good footnotes, but what's more important is that you allow and trust the Holy Spirit to lead you to all truths.
Amen.
Yeah, y'all might as well say amen to that.
Amen.
You see, the footnotes is only a a surface view of the information that God is providing us. And one of the tools that I would encourage you to get is a good concordance. Not the one in the back of your Bible, because that is small. I have two on my table here. One is the Young's. And what you find in concordances is that it tells you what the word means, the closest thing to the Greek or the Hebrew word. And so while you're studying, it's not enough to look at the footnotes at the bottom. You need to have a concordance so that you can break down each word that you're reading. Because prosperity, the word prosperity in the Old Testament is totally different in the New Testament. And then it all depends on the context of it, what it's spoken about. One good Bible that helps you along that way is the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible will place these Hebrew and Greek and concordance broken down words either in brackets or within the text. And so the Amplified Bible is a good Bible to have if you don't have the concordances. But nothing will replace the concordances, because that gives you the opportunity to take your studies deeper and understand the closest resemblance to the meaning that it was placed from the time it was penned by those who God breathed on. Amen?
Amen.
And so I don't want to labor on this, but it's important that we, as we start the new year, that you increase in knowledge, that you increase with the power, the dunamis power, the Holy Ghost power, to be able to witness to the lost. Do not think that there are not lost people. The Bible says that they are the majority, and that the church that we see is not the church of Jesus Christ. And so we must, those of us who are that remnant that have been called out, must go out to help the lost. Last Sunday I talked to you about the vine and the branch. I still encourage you to go outside of your homes or your abode and look at a tree and see the some things about trees that the Bible has used them, Jesus has used them as an illustration. That no branch stays off of the vine. If it falls off, it does what? It dies. It doesn't just fall off and say, well, I'm going to grow up right here in the soil. Now, you can prune a tree and put it in water and it will grow. The bottom line is that I looked this morning, because it gets too hot in here. I have to go out. I got dizzy. And went outside and noticed that the trees, they don't go too far from the source. They might grow out, but they, and I don't care how far they grow out, you don't have no renegade. You don't have one that just goes around the corner and leaves the rest of it. It don't work that way. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You must stay close to the source, which is the word of God. And so I greet you and implore you that you keep close to the word. Amen? This morning I want to give you the third part of a series, and if you want to go back over them, they're online, and I might tell you that I listened at last Sunday's sermon. Now, y'all will probably laugh at this, but I'm blessed when I hear my own words, because they're not my words, they're the words of God.
Amen.
And so I sat there just as blessed as I could be for an hour and 10 minutes listening to last Sunday's sermon. I encourage you to go back over these sermons, and every time you do, you're going to find something that you didn't hear when you were sitting up here on Sunday eating donuts and drinking stuff and looking out the window and half woke and not woke. Come on with me now. And so as you continue in this new year, I pray that we will continue to grow. Secrets of Obeying is Loving is the subject of this morning. The secrets of obeying is loving. As you know, we're in the book of John 15, and we have discussed the secrets of living is what? It's bearing fruit. And the secrets of bearing fruit is what? You know, James said that you can't look in the mirror and turn from the mirror and go away because you'll forget what you saw. Now, I see y'all already taking these notes and stuff. Somebody should be able to answer these questions. The secret of bearing fruit is what?
Isn't it a word?
It's a one word. Begins with an A. Abiding.
Abiding.
The secret of bearing fruit is abiding. I'll try this again next week. Today's sermon is the secret of bearing is obeying. You get the pattern? Bear fruit. Bearing fruit is abiding, and abiding is obeying. It just keeps going down the process. If you obey, if you are not obeying, you're not obeying, and if you're not abiding, you're not what? Bearing fruit. Oh, y'all, come on now. You can, you know, like in the old days when we sang songs, you could almost reverse them songs. That's deep. And that's why we all remember them. I can sit here in a second and start singing a tune, and I know that Brother Wayne, Sister Corbin, and Priscilla, and Connie, and I will know it. Oh, y'all don't believe that, so. I guess you. Now, what's the rest of that? Now, that's what I'm talking about. That's how, yeah, the rest of y'all didn't want to say nothing. Melvin said it. Oh, come on, y'all. See, why do we know every song? I can hear one tune of an OJ song and know what they're getting ready to sing. Know why? Because we heard it over and over and over again. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And it's the same thing with our word, the word of God. You must hear it over and over again. You must read it over and over again. And after a while, the Spirit will give you utterance to bring it back when you need to utter it.
Amen.
Y'all might say amen. I hear people talking about, yeah, you can quote scriptures. I can't quote no scripture. That's why I have to sit up here and look at Mimi to make sure I've got the right one. It's the Holy Spirit that leads me to truths. Oh, come on with me. So as we go on our journey this morning, I want you to understand. And by the way, y'all say amen now, because if I have to keep asking, that's adding up on the time. I bet y'all be amen in here in another 15 minutes. Now, the secret of abiding is obeying. But what is the secret of obeying? It's real simple. It's obeying. Obeying is loving. Amen?
Amen?
The Bible teaches us that if we love the Lord, we will obey him. And so this morning, for this brief time, I want to talk to you in regards to the levels of obedience. Now, number one, if you're taking notes, and I trust that you are, I encourage you next Sunday to go through your notes before you get here so you know what it was that we talked about this Sunday. And if you don't have time to go to your notes, then what you need to do, and by the way, for those who don't have their own notebook, like Brother Lance.
Keep my paper in the front.
He keeps his paper in the front. All right, let me give you all a clue. Starting next year, everybody go to the Dollar General store, which most of us go there. I won't go inside the Dollar General store. Ain't nobody going to hold me up in there for no Chinese stuff. But listen to this. Get one of those books that we used when we were kids, and they had the composition book. That's what I'm trying to say. Get you a composition book. They cost a dollar, don't they?
Yeah.
If that. I don't know. And that way you have your notes, and at the end of the year, you should have two or three composition books that you place on your bookshelf that you can go back and check. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Amen.
Now let's deal with this level of obedience. First thing is that the level of fear. You see, some people obey because they know the element that fear plays. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 through 7. And by the way, I printed this sermon out and got to the, it starts from the back, works to the front. unbeknown to me until I went to pick it up, that the front is almost non-seeable because I ran out of ink, or you ran out of ink since you bought the cartridges. So if I can't make something out, you might have to go to the text itself. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 through 7. For of this you can be sure. No immortal, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of our God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Did y'all get that? Let no one deceive you with empty words. You know, the Bible says in the last days that there will that people will have a form of godliness, but deny the power. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Listen, church, we are not to be partners with a disobedient people because the wrath of God will come on us and them.
Amen.
And so we have to make sure we're careful who we partner with. Now, y'all, come on now.
Amen.
You know, it's like our children. The Bible says, train up a child in where he shall walk. When they get old, they will not depart from it. That's training them up in God's word. Why do you think we have children beating up parents at 15 years old? Got cops being called out for some child. When I was a child, if I was at 15, open my mouth to my father or mother, I'd be out cold. Now, that's not what the Bible's speaking. The Bible says train them that they will honor their mother and father. And once they learn that the power of the word, they'll never change from that. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And if we don't teach them that, you'll have disobedient children that will do all this crazy stuff that we see going on, like shooting parents because you didn't want to wash dishes and they kept hassling you about it.
Amen.
Yeah, y'all might as well say amen. It's going on all around. Children talking back to parents, and one family member said, I don't pay them no mind, when in fact you're cursing children.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on, somebody. The Bible says that if you want to have a good life, you ought to honor your mother and father. Every time you talk back disrespect or your parents, you are causing a curse on you.
Amen.
Y'all might as well say amen. That's in the word. And so for those young people on this call, trust me, obey your parents. Honor your parents. Do not talk back to your parents or disrespect them. You see, I had no choice but to do those things because I operated under fear. Y'all got that? The fear of being knocked out cold.
Amen.
If I had a dollar for every time I was out cold, I'd be loaded.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen more stars than they are in the heavens. My mother I would be behind my mother, and she's a big old country girl from Buckingham, Virginia. She's about your complexion, Lance, and had big, fat hands. And if my sisters will listen to this, she'll know it, although my sister never got hit. But I got hit. I mumble under my breath, and I don't know where that big, fat Mr. Incredible, Mrs. Incredible hand came from. But when I picked myself off the floor, I just knew that I was still with the living. And so that's probably a good illustration about this notion about fear. You see, God doesn't want us to obey him out of fear. Can I get a witness? But fear can be a source of obedience. Melvin just took the words out of my mouth, which can motivate us to initially turn to God. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, and then verse 34 and 35. You see, if we continue with this motivation, we'll find in Philippians chapter 2, Verse 12. And I can't read all this, so you'll have to turn there, and I'll read until I can't see it. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always observed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Y'all got that? You see, some people have to work it out with fear and trembling. But I've already given you a clue that that's not the way God operates, unless he has to. And if he has to, he has to. Amen?
Amen.
And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 31, if someone would turn there and read that, because I don't have all of it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 through 31. Page 1929 in the old Full Life Study Bible.
Hebrews 10.
Somebody would read it for me, please.
Hebrews 12.
No, you're getting old, Bree. Hebrews 10, 26 through 31. Has anybody found it?
Amen.
Through 31.
Uh-huh.
If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on a testimony of two or three witnesses.
Well,
how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot?
Stop there for a minute. Did you hear that? You see, when you disobedient, you are trampling God's Son under your feet. Oh, yeah, I don't think y'all got that. You see, verse 29 we on right now. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God under his foot? That's deep. So when we disobey, we're trampling the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, the Son of God, under our feet. That's what I said. Go ahead, dear.
Who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
And so again we see that people who fear God obey him. Amen?
Amen.
But the Lord would have us progress beyond this fear motivation for obedience. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus indicated that he desired our relationship to be much closer and loving. Amen. John 15:15. I no longer call you servant. Hallelujah. Because a servant does not know his master's business. Did you get that? Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. That's deep. What Jesus learned from Jehovah, he has now passed on to us. And you don't give your business out to the one who is not your friend. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And so if you don't think you're blessed, you need to read that over and over again. You see, a slave-master relationship is based on fear. And that's why we were enslaved in this country. It was out of fear. But fear cannot hold on to a spirit. You see, that's the reason why slavery could not continue. Because it wasn't based upon love, it was based upon fear. Oh, y'all walk with me this morning.
Amen.
And no spirit that came from God can be held in bondage outside of God's will. Come on with me. Fear, while proper in its place, can rob us of the real joy that God wants us to experience when we obey him. You know, I go back in my own mind, in my own life, and see life is much more blessed when you obey the master. It just is more blessed. When I find that I do the things that he said to do, I can turn and say, Abba, were you pleased with what I did? I didn't do it, Daddy, because you would strike me down. I did it because I loved you, because I know that you gave your life for me, that you served a ransom for my sins. And in my mortal body, the least I can do is to love you by obeying you. You said very simply, if you love me, obey me. He didn't put a great bunch of attachments to it. It's real simple. Love requires obedience. It's like our children. They don't have to obey us, but they can operate like I had to as a child, either out of fear or out of love. And I stop by to tell you that the master is... told us that we are his friends. We're not in a slave-master relationship. We're in a relationship of a friendship. Amen? Like I said, fear, while has its proper place, can rob us of the real joy of God wants us to experience by being obedient. Motivation based solely on fear builds walls instead of building bridges. And by the way, that works in our carnal life. You see, you're much better building bridges than to build walls. You know, the other way they say it is, don't burn your bridges. You know, I had to learn that the hard way working in these demonic jobs, because when I saw wrong there, I was ready to fight it. Unfortunately, that fell off on my daughter. A shop steward at that post office. I said to myself, Lord, help my baby, because she could be fighting the rest of her life. There's some demons up in that joint. And anybody else got any demons in your job? I saw a lady when Connie and I were at Red Lobster the other day. And I got to watch that, because I eat at home too, by the way. Somebody
Amen.
Gave us a gift certificate, and then we went to Red Lobsters. Yeah, my baby can cook. If you don't believe so, figure out how I got 376 pounds on me.
Amen.
Somebody said, Jesus. And y'all pray for me, too. I'm struggling to get this weight off. Connie put a plate in front of me this morning that had home fries on it. Corned beef hash and two big fat fried eggs on top of it and 9-grain bread. And I said, I'm not going to eat all this. I said that all the way to the kitchen with the plate empty. I left a quarter of the bread on there. That's a start. I usually sop up all the egg juice and keep going. You know, joking aside, y'all keep me in your prayers as far as this week goes.
Amen.
You know, people who have addictions, they're not easy, but the Bible said that there's greater with is he that's within us than he's in the world. Amen. You know, all us fat people, we walk around laughing and joking about it. This ain't funny. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
It's not funny. I got grandchildren that is almost big as I am. Got one anyway. It's not funny. John wrote, listen to this, he who fears has not been made perfect in love. 1 John 4:18. You see, church, we must have love over fear.
Amen.
Now, the second area I want to deal with is the level of selfishness. We obey because of what we know we will get in return. Isn't that how this carnal world works? Yes, sir, I'm your buddy as long as you give me my money. You know, when I grew up, there's old saying, there's no finance, no what?
No old man.
Oh, the old and the young know that one. You see, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Amen?
Amen.
This attitude was manifested in, by Peter on one occasion in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" You know, Peter was a trip, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Jesus said, "Now, wait a minute, I done gave up my business, I done gave everything up. What did I get out of this deal?" Doesn't that sound like us?
Yep.
I love you if you give me what I want.
Yep.
You see, that is a selfishness that we must overcome. See, the difference between the level of fear and the level of selfishness can be easily demonstrated in our children. Some children will obey parents to avoid discipline. That's the level of fear that I was accustomed to. And other children will obey parents to incur favor. The level of selfishness. I tried to do it, but it didn't work most of the time. The sad truth is that many Christians never raise above these two levels of obedience. You have to determine if you're in either of those categories. I sometimes don't think most people walk into any of those categories related to the Lord. They don't fear him. They don't have a selfish relationship. He's just not there except on Sunday morning. And that's another terrible thing. You just take him for granted. He's the genie for the 1 hour of power. Or y'all might as well say amen.
Amen.
I assure you, he is not a genie. You can't rub his stomach and expect him to give you all these things you want. That's why we have certain churches that are packed to the max, because we're in there looking for something. I had a sergeant major that I had went to a seminar when I was stationed in Hawaii and went to California, and he come back flying in my office talking about, "Do you know anybody? I got it tied 10%. I got to get 10% because I get it back sevenfold."
It does something.
And that's how the mind works. I go to church because it's the year to open door. I'm going to get all that. By the way, they got, what, 2 days left? I'm going to call that sister on the second and say, "Did you get everything through that open door?" "I don't think so." Next thing, the sad truth that I've just said, that Christians never raise above these two levels. Some obey God only because they fear the judgment, and others obey God only because they're promised eternal rewards. But there is yet a higher level that I want to bring to your attention this morning, and that's the level of love. This is the highest level of obedience. This is where we obey God because we love him. We'll continue to obey him no matter what the circumstances or the outcome will be. Let me just try to expand that. You see, when God loved us first, and we have the wisdom and knowledge to know that, And there's some key words. That word, knowledge. Expand your knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the word. And that will expand your love, because you'll know who he is and what he's done for you. And out of that, you can only have love. You see, you can love somebody who gives you what you want. When you learn to love because somebody gave you without you having to reciprocate it. Oh, y'all not hearing me. I watched my dear wife this morning dealing with her grandchildren. And I'm not going to sit here and say, sometimes I don't get upset about it. Connie has radar ears and radar vision for my grandchildren. And I will bless her as long as I live. She has the same for my children. I got a 44-year-old daughter sitting up here, 43, somewhere in there, who has a problem with her TMJ. And I claim in the name of Jesus healing over that. And my precious wife has been administering to her and telling her about taking the Napicin. And Kim sitting up here, half woke, half asleep. But that's right. You see, that's what I'm talking about, Connie. See, but she's here.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's the kind of love that we're being taught in the Bible. You see, none of these grandkids or Kim or my sons, Connie is radar sharp when it comes to the love of her children and her grandchildren.
Amen.
Y'all got the rest of that, right?
Amen.
Yeah, you got it right. She is semi-sharp when it comes to me, but she is super sharp. I don't say nothing about these kids in the house, because no matter how I say it, she's going to turn it. That is love. That's love that is deep. And don't think that she don't love me, because she does. And I know she does. And she knows I love her. But I would never come between the love that a mother has for her children. Oh, y'all, come on with me now. I don't care what the condition of them. You see, I told Bree this yesterday when we were studying. You know, church, one of the things that I've never been able to do and have, and so for those who are struggling with things in the scripture, work this one. I've always was resentful that I could not bear a child. Yeah, I know y'all laughing. Go on, laugh. Let me tell you why. The relationship to that biblical cord goes beyond anything that a father could do.
Amen.
You see, the mother who carries her child for 9 months and sits up there and they come out of them and they cut that cord, they're never separated from them.
Amen.
I can't experience that, nor can Melvin. And nor will you, Lance, if y'all have children. We can't experience that. And God had it that way. Amen?
Amen.
God made it that way. Now, we're trying to change what God made. You know, you got women sitting up in boardrooms smoking cigarettes, dangling out their mouth, talking about how are we doing today and all this stuff in China, wearing man clothes. I was down in the courtroom down in Prince George, where it was, and a lawyer came in there, and she had on a pants and a suit jacket like a man and looked like a man. I said, a poor thing.
Amen.
Yeah, you saw it, didn't you?
Amen.
I said to myself, what in the world is this? And that was a lawyer trying to be like the boys. Oh, y'all might as well say amen.
Amen.
You see, church, the love that we should have for our Father, it can be put in terms of a love that a mother has for a child. And what a sad thought to think that there are mothers who don't have that love for their children. Oh, come on with me now. There are mothers who don't love their children as they ought to.
Amen.
I had the occasion this week to be blessed by a gentleman who hopefully will hear this sermon, named Mr. Glasgow. I have been searching, as you well know, for my mother for all of my 63 years. God bless me that I did not see her, because I couldn't have. She died at a young age trying to have twins. And you know, back in the day, that the complications would set in, and that was medicine wasn't where it's at now. But God bless me that I do have a picture that I'm sitting up here looking at, that I know what my mother looks like. But more so, I was blessed by Mr. Glasgow, which was a friend of my mother. They were all children together in Kennett Square. And I happened to call him in my search, and he has blessed my heart. He is like a father to me now. He won't ask my aunt anything direct because he's scared of her. You know, for those of y'all who know me and knows my children, you know that some of them have my genes more prevalent in them. And others of them have my wife. Although I believe all of them got me, and so don't rub them the wrong way because their cuff genes will come out. Amen?
Yes.
I know my precious daughter sitting up here, she got a lot of my genes.
Amen.
Her skin will go off on you. And she got it from her daddy. But ain't God good?
Amen.
His mercy, and Mimi's in that group too. I mean, Mimi will deal with you. For those of y'all who never seen Mimi, she's real small, very timid and birdish looking. But that chick will turn into a hawk on you. I've been knowing her since she was a little girl. And I ain't never seen nothing but the sweet little Mimi. But every once in a while, Mimi will say something that'll lead me to believe that Mimi will deal with you. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And I pray one day in this church that we'll all be able to gather ourselves together to see each other. Amen?
Amen.
And so nobody make a mistake, there's others of us on this call that I believe got a little incredible hawk in them too. And we're going to leave it there. Now, this matter of love, we can get clarity on in the scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 5, and then verse 7 through 9. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read these. You see, God wanted Israel as a nation to obey him. And so Jesus wants his disciples to obey him in John 14, 15. You see, church, the value of obedience out of love can be easily seen. While we may initially obey out of fear or out of selfishness, the key to continue and successful obedience requires that we've done this love, this obedience out of love.
Amen.
So if you started with this matter of fearing, it's okay. But as you grow in knowledge, you grow in love.
Amen.
And you get to the stage where you obey him because you love him. And he says, how can you love one who you have not seen? And so, church, this morning, what we have to do is we have to study to love him. The more you study this word, the more you know of Jesus and of Jehovah, you will love him. For example, I know that Jehovah has this day all planned out.
Amen.
And I know that if that sun would just move ever so slightly on his axles, we would burn up. That, somebody said, oh, that's really a
yeah.
But God loved us so that he has allowed that sun to stay in his proper orbit. And here on earth, even though we're tricking up this environment, he still allows us to stay within the axle.
Amen.
And as hard as he loves us, we determine we're going to do everything contrary to his will. And for that, the Bible said you will reap what you sow.
Amen.
I told y'all that people are going to the North Pole trying to see the ice caps and these mounds of ice up and below the surface before they go away. Oh, man, if we'd only would look at what we're doing, and we ride pickup trucks and SUVs and all this madness, and ain't nobody went camping yet. You know, an SUV was made for camping. And I don't see none of these people going camping. You know, you see some people put their skis on top of their SUV and they head up into the... I ain't seen none of these folks around here going nowhere but to the gas station.
Amen.
And every time they go down and go back up. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And so as I bring this to a close, believe it or not, you see that we must continue to know him. And as we know him, we will learn to love him greater. You see, suppose things are going too well for us that we can be mindful of God's impending judgment. We are not likely to be motivated by fear. You see, if you know that something's going to happen and he said he'll watch over you and he'll protect you, you have love for him. You know, I'm so thankful by being obedient, I have now stopped watching television. So I don't know what had happened from Friday to now. The last thing I knew, that Bhutto was assassinated. I had to go on TV to find out. The Bible said that evil is all around us. Oh, come on, somebody.
Amen.
And I don't need them to sit there lying about who did it and who didn't do it. You know, I tell you what, I'd be glad when they catch Bin Laden or he retires. Everything go wrong, Bin Laden did it. They been lying. Bin Laden, by the way, is sitting up in that penthouse suite up in New York City, overlooking Central Park, in case you want to know where he's at. Bin Laden. Now, suppose things are going really good. You see, we will not be likely to be motivated by selfishness because we got all we want, and we ain't got no time for love. Oh, come on, y'all. You know how it goes. You see, I done learned some secrets in life. Don't be argumentative, and then everything goes smooth in the house. It's a learning lesson. You learn that, and I'll put all the men on there, particularly the young men who are married. Learn this. Listen closely. Take a note. Yes, dear. All you got to say is, yes, dear. And you will have no arguments in your house. Say it one time, man. Yes, dear. Deacon Edison? Deacon Edison said he can't do it. Well, we'll keep him in prayer. You will have no peace until you learn, yes, dear.
Yes,
I don't have no problems in here as long as I stay on yes, dear. The moment I jump off that boy, all hell break loose in this camp. Yes, sir.
I just want to tell you a quick story.
Deacon Edison want to tell us a quick story. You got to get in front of the mic, brother.
Please.
You know,
Hold on a minute, you gotta get over this on recording now.
Yeah, the quick story is that when I was a kid, I spoke as a kid. When I became a man, as a man. I say that to say this. This particular season is not one of my great seasons, and my heart has never been there. And by saying that, I've always had a deepness for this season. And I knew as a child in a cold, cold winter one day that we were from the other side of the tracks and we had to have a Air Force bus come pick us up, take us to a place to see a tree full of lights and things underneath it. That being what it was, that's all I could remember. And by having that, I thought I knew who the master was. That became part of my life to this very day. And from that time on, when I found out who the real master was, I began to understand what love was. And if it had not been for Christ in my life at that moment, I can say I may not be here, I wouldn't have had a family, I couldn't be speaking today. But it was the little things in life that I knew that God said, do this. And I say, why? He said, feed yourself. I said, why? I kept asking the question, why should I have to feed myself to survive? Because it goes in one and goes out the other. I kept asking myself that question. But it was in those little things that I kept asking questions to that God gave me an answer and said, you know what? You do as I tell you to do, not as you want to do. And it's the little things in life that brought me to this point to say that God is all that we can allow him to be if we allow him to be first in our lives.
Amen.
And until that comes, until I'm able to see that spiritualness continue to take over, there's always going to be problems.
Amen.
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 All right, we're at the end of this journey this morning, so that was a good part that Melvin came in on. In conclusion, I want to leave you with these things. We desire only true enjoyment in the abundance of life that Jesus offers, which is what Melvin was just saying. Then let us learn to obey Jesus out of love. Church, if you want to do anything this morning on this journey to the secrets of life, it's learn to obey Christ out of love.
Amen.
Amen.
Clear out of your mind this notion that you got to do this because he said do it. See, that's where a lot of our battles come with the scriptures. You know, we battle with these scriptures that because we want to make sure that we are under this fear. You see, when you obey the Bible out of love, you will have blessings.
Amen.
Y'all got that? That's one of the secrets is that, you know, we're too busy, and unfortunately, it looks to me like our women, who are mostly what makes up our churches, got this little concern about this obedience in certain areas. Men ain't even in the church, so, you know, we can dispense with that. You know, okay, and so he's disobedient, and that's why we're having so much trouble as men. Y'all understand this? It comes back to obedience out of love. You know, most of our churches, without a shadow of a doubt, have 70 to 80% women in them, or even maybe 85%. And all the men in there are the elderly, you know, Deacon Moses, and the rest of them in there. You see, this disobedience, fear won't get it. Selfishness won't get it. You must love and be obedient based upon love.
Amen.
And you don't gain love unless you gain knowledge of who it is that you love. Has everybody got that?
Amen.
That's the only way you're going to gain love of obedience. It's through knowledge of God's word. You see, the more we love him, the more we will obey him.
Amen.
Oh, man, I tell you, you stop thinking about this agape love that he has given us. If you just focus on agape love, you will have love for him. You see, we don't have agape love.
Amen.
Unconditional love. You know, everything that we do, we got a condition on it. You know, I don't believe half people be married now if they knew that there was a condition to being married. Maybe that's why I haven't been married. You see, the Bible says that it's a mystery that you will leave your mother and father and cling to your mate. Now, since a lot of people don't believe that because they don't have that love obedience, they cling to themselves.
Amen.
Oh, y'all might as well say amen. You know, it used to be a time in this existence that a woman would always cling to her mate, her husband, because she had to depend on him. God made it that way. But now the devil and his buddies down here didn't come up with this new way. I work just like you work. I ain't fixing you nothing. Pick up something on the way home, because I'm just as tired as you are. My daughter-in-law say amen. Now, if you go back and re-examine that against the scriptures, you will say, oh, Lord, forgive me. Because that is not what the Bible teaches. And by the way, women, I'm not putting that on y'all because it looks like our men, they can't work without their wives working. Amen, lights.
Amen.
You know, church, so y'all don't make no mistake about it, when I was a child, I was trained that I worked. My mother never left the house. Amen, lights. I had everything cooked from scratch. Has anybody tasted a real homemade biscuit? Or my mother used to make rolls. Big, fat, Bree said a long time ago. Big fat rolls that she'd put on the heat to let them rise.
Yeah.
The time I got home from school, them boys would almost look like a little small loaf of bread. Oh, y'all come on with me now. And she, yeah, you don't know nothing about it. Most of them don't know nothing about it. They
yeah.
they know Pillsbury Doughboy.
You got the Wonder Bread.
Yeah, Wonder Bread. Listen to me as I bring this to a close. My mother would put those in the oven after she'd have made applesauce from scratch. Does anybody ever taste applesauce from scratch?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And a ham in the oven with mustard all over it.
That's all.
Ah, boy. We bring it on down now. Yes, sir. You see, that was love. Can I get a witness?
Amen. Amen.
String beans out of a can ain't no love. Ain't no TLC and no string beans in no can. Yeah, y'all laughing, but this is terrible. I'm sitting up here full of chemicals.
Hey, man. Hey.
Let me stop or I get kicked out of here.
Don't tell me to get them.
Hey, Priscilla, you told her to wash them off? The chemicals is in the skin of them. Sister Carmen, those string beans taste good for y'all who know and all who hear this call. They really did. But my mind wouldn't accept it.
Even the beans don't taste good.
Well, as we close this, I ask God's mercy on us as we learn this matter of obedience out of love. Amen?
Amen.
And the more we obey him, the more we will abide in him. And the more we abide in him, the more we will bear fruit. And the more we bear fruit, the more we will truly experience abundant life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Next Sunday, which will be the new year, we'll finish off this series. For the time being, though, you can say that you love Jesus enough to obey him. John 14:15. Let us pray.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Father God, we just thank you again just for another day. Every day I open my eyes, I say thank you, Father, for you didn't have to forget me, children.
Amen.
And Father God, I ask that you forgive me because earlier this week, you know, Nikki don't even know this, but Kim was there. You know, I had little Macy, the dog, you know, and I wasn't really supposed to give her certain foods, and the little dog went into a little spasm, and it kind of took my heart because I thought the little dog was going to leave me here. And God has showed me in my lifetime having someone die in my arms, you know, something which I'd never forget. And just to have that there at present, knowing that one moment there's life and the next moment there's death, I think about that all the time, Father, and I thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For allowing me, knowing that it's only what you do while you're breathing. Because after there's no more breath, there's no more life.
Well.
So help us now, Father, so we can understand your spirit and understand your ways. Because without that, we have nothing.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let the church say in Jesus' name.
Amen. Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.